Good morning, everyone. We're so glad you're here to worship with us today. As you can see, Nancy and Pat have got fall all out. It's a good sign that our fall invest is in full swing. And we haven't had the opportunity to have someone come in person to be the face of some of these offerings that we do. When we do our fall invest, we are supporting our Texas missions. And we have Brian Massey here with us today to share a little bit about Houses for Healing. It's a nonprofit ministry which provides free temporary housing to people in medical crisis who receive medical treatments in Abilene. And Brian was raised in Mulberry Canyon, southwest of Merkel, and graduated from Trent ISD as a bona fide gorilla. For 14 years, Brian worked in the semiconductor industry, where he performed research and development. And after R&D was outsourced overseas, Brian came back to the big country where he worked as a corporate trainer for a large renewable energy company. After his mom passed from leukemia, a 501c3 his parents had started was transferred to Brian. And he and his lovely wife, Karen, who's here with us today, and also Sam and Joshua are here. He resigned from the training manager position for a full-time ministry, and Brian began visiting the sick at Hendrick Abilene and various nursing homes across the area and in the city to walk in the commission of Christ to love our neighbors and care for the sick. Houses for Healing is delivering opportunities for the unity of the body of Christ and providing tiny houses. Congregations across Abilene are given the opportunity for local ministry to make a difference. These tiny houses serve as the venue for the adopting church to share Jesus with people who may be in their final months of life, as well as providing the Samaritans of our area the opportunity to love big through other acts of service and kindness. When I was serving here as ministry assistant for years, we would get I think it was either a monthly or quarterly email from Houses for Healing. And so I've been praying for this ministry for a long time, and it has been on my heart. But recently, I was given the opportunity to go back and work as a radiation therapist, which is what I did before we came to Brownwood. I was really missing being with my patients. And so we've been given a grant, and we're getting a new machine. But that entails us getting rid of our machine to treat our patients. And so our patients didn't have anywhere to go. So they're having to go to Abilene for their treatment, and that is a long drive. Getting treated for cancer is a big ordeal. It takes a lot out of you just to go just across town, much less having to go all the way to Abilene. And so Brian, I reached out to him to kind of see if maybe they could help some of our patients have a place to stay or just minister to them in some way, and they have just outdone themselves. They have also not only, some of the places, weren't available for some of our patients. And so they have helped, put them up at the League House. They provided lunches for them. And, so we've invited, him to come and speak a little bit more about, their ministry so you guys can see where a good portion of our offering is going to. And we just welcome Brian and his family.
Thank you, Lord. It is a delight to be here today. Thank you all for letting us come in. I'm delighted to have my wife, Karen, and our son, Joshua, and Samuel with us today. As dads in the ministry, we want our children to follow in our footsteps. And they've been with me on the road of just trying to figure it out, trying to hear from the Lord of what I'm supposed to do with my life. And because I ran from the Lord a long time. And it wasn't until I was late in my late 40s that I finally surrendered to the Lord and said, okay, Lord, I'll give you my life. So you're going to hear a little bit about that today. You see, when the Lord called me to surrender, it's a call to love our neighbors. My dad and I would go to the hospital, Hendrick Hospital, after I'd left my job, gone into ministry, and we would visit people. One day, I'm in a hospital room, and I hear a tragedy unfold. this lady let us go into her room, and we she allowed us to pray with her, and she told us about what she's going through. And I mean, it was so heavy, so sad, the things that she is going through. And we finished up praying for her, walked out, and as the door clicked behind me, I'll never forget it. In a moment, I was aware of tragedy behind it. Just closed, and I'm looking at a door that's closed right in front of me. I'm on the 7th floor at Hendrick, and it occurs to me in that moment that behind every closed door, there is a tragedy unfolding. And then I looked up and down the hallway, and I go, where is the church? This is the place. Jesus began his ministry in that space. Why? Because I believe it's not only common to everybody, but it's also the place where people transition across. They transition across most often, you know, in that space where they're looking at eternity, and it behooves us as the body of Christ to get there to that place and to share the gospel with them. That's what the Lord gave me whenever I surrendered to him and began to pray for our land. Houses for Healing. Glad to see Miss Patty here today. Amen. Amen. So, as you guys know, Abilene is a medical hub. The main medical hub of the big country. There's about 450,000 people that come into Abilene for advanced medical care. Brownwood is on the grow. You are growing right now, and the offerings are becoming more and more sophisticated. However, there's still quite a few people that go to Abilene from Brownwood. I'll show you some stuff about the houses in a moment. We've taken care of a number of people from Brownwood. I think we've provided about, well, actually, I looked at the data this morning, 771 nights of free lodging that we provided to residents of Brown County. So we are trying to be a good neighbor up there in the name of Jesus. And we're trying to enable the faith community, which I'll show you as we go through the presentation here, because this space right here is most common to everyone. The struggle against the curse is more common among us than even our DNA. Everyone fights for life, health, and strength. And every family has a story. And we believe that that place is where the Lord has called us to engage and be the body of Christ. And you can share the gospel in ways that you can't even imagine. It's so powerful. Whenever you get in the trench with somebody and you simply be there, give them a meal, pray for them, hug them, be a friend to them whenever they would have a tendency to recede into the shadows, to transition away. Be there. Abilene serves these counties, and that's a large swath of Texas, the big country is. It's a large, large area. People come to Abilene because we have Hendrick North, we have Texas Oncology, we have Hendrick South, we have West Texas Rehab, and there's other medical campuses there that people come in to Abilene for advanced medical care for. What you're looking at now is our phase one. You'll see the house on the left, the red-roofed house, that's for Nolan County. The one that's in the middle of the screen being zoomed toward, that's our veteran house. The one to the right of the Houses for Healing sign is the Brown County house. That's y'all's house. The one on the far end, that's Callahan County house. This is the inside of the houses that we're building. This is the Nolan County. This is the veteran house. This is y'all's house. This is a Brown County house right there. That's the Callahan County house. The houses, you've heard me say counties. Again, it's because people go to Abilene. We want you to have your house. We want every county to have their house. And we want the churches to send the people to us there so that it brings the body of Christ back to the place of caring for the sick. For too long, we've left it up to the medical professionals to handle all things medical. But Jesus never absolves us of our responsibility to care for the sick. It's in the list of six in Matthew 25. And we must be there. And that's what Houses for Healing, we're trying to bring the church back to the place of caring for the sick. And we can do so quite easily, quite nicely, in complement with modern medicine, by meeting basic needs. Because everybody comes to the hospital and they've got their suitcase of basic needs. What an opportunity for the church. So in Abilene, we want all the churches to say, we'll take so-and-so county, and another church says, we'll take so-and-so county, and another church, we'll take so-and-so county, so that the big picture becomes the body of Christ working together. That's the phase one from across the street. And these are the churches that have those four houses. You'll see Hillcrest Church of Christ has the Nolan County House. Hope for Life has the Veteran House. Wiley Methodist has the Brown County House. Now, let me tell you a little bit about answered prayer there. You ever been to a Wiley versus Brownwood football game? Those guys said, in Wiley, it was Wiley that said, we're going to love our neighbors. And I asked the Lord, Lord, please let it be the most neighborly thing that can happen. And in my own imagination, I imagined the guys that building the house for y'all on the football field. It didn't happen that way, but it's what I yearned for. And at the football game, we love you, neighbor. You're our neighbor. It's a body of Christ thing, and it's beautiful. And then Beltway, Boots on the Ground, has the Callahan County House. As of today, we've provided 7,283 nights of free lodging that people didn't pay for. The church did it. 5,814 in the tiny houses. 716 that we've paid for out of the ministry's expenses for people to stay in hotels. 753 nights in the League House. We're getting close to the equivalent of 20 years. And we haven't been in business very long. And that's just with four houses. We've served people in four countries other than the U.S., 14 states other than Texas, 49 Texas counties excluding Taylor. And if you put some number on this, and you can play with the numbers all kinds of different ways, a base number of $100 a night, which it's hard to get a hotel for $100 a night if it's anywhere near decent. But just picking a number, that's $750,000 that the church has provided. And it's not just free lodging. It's food and transportation and prayer and clothing. We do all of those ministries in Matthew 25. It happens there at Houses for Healing because, again, every person, every family has a need where they struggle for life, health, and strength. There's not enough capacity. You drive by the hospital up there at Hendrick and you can't find a parking spot. I believe the churches need to recognize those people are there because they're in need. And we must, as the body of Christ, engage with them and help them. See them as the neighbors coming in. They're there telling us that they need help. The evidence is their car there. So we're working on phase two right now. And the Lord gave us the land right across the street. The vision was for 20 tiny houses, 19 counties plus our veteran house. And would you believe that as we're finishing house number four on phase one, a guy walks across the street and says, would you like to buy this land? Long story short, we bought it. Hallelujah. And guess how many houses it holds? 16. And that's the 20. So the Lord gave us a tiny house community. Only the Lord can do that. And we've been working for a while now. This is our community center, 100-year-old rock house. And we've gone in there and we've renovated. That's another perspective. That's my office there. That's our pantry area. We don't have a lot of storage space. It's only 1,100 square feet. That's our community dining room, the churches that have these houses. And every house is going to be adopted by somebody. So the big picture is hundreds of volunteers. And what I want you to see in this is I'm trying to show you the churches are saying we want to love our neighbors. It's beautiful because the Bible says so. And they go in there and they share this kitchen, this dining room and this kitchen here, and they make meals and they just love on people. I've not seen anything like it anywhere. And that's sort of what it looks like. It's a great sense of community. People sharing, coming together, loving, being there just to help, just to say, I care. Every house that we've been building, we dedicate it. We build it on the Word of God. We make a little time capsule and folks come in and go to that house and pray over it and dedicate it to serve and to love and to be a resource for the kingdom of God. That's a Throckmorton pastor coming in and dedicating the Throckmorton County House. This is Wiley Baptist. They're doing the Taylor County House, or we call it our First Responder House. That's Stonewall County pastors coming in and dedicating the Stonewall County House. That's Stevens County coming in and dedicating the Stevens County House. This is Haskell County House being dedicated. This is Jones County being dedicated. This is Knox County being dedicated. This is Kent County being dedicated. big picture, many, many believers coming together. You can't see it from here, but it's happening up there where the churches are saying, yes, we'll take that county. We'll take that county. We'll take that county. Now, this is what we're trying to get the churches to do in the counties that the houses are purposed for. If you'll look here, you'll see that this is the Houses for Healing logo and our website, but here we want the churches to be the face of the resource. That's what I meant in the video, trying to enable people. We want you guys to be on there so that the people of the community come and say, oh, we're going to Abilene, whoever goes to Abilene, and we need some help, and they go to the church and not the government. We're trying to enable the body of Christ. You see, there's a great opportunity to take care of the ones that Jesus told our family, right? But also the unbeliever, because they also fight for life, health, and strength. And all of a sudden, those tiny houses become an evangelism tool for you guys. Whenever you can go and you can take that person who refused to hear the message of the gospel, they come to you and they say, can you help us? And you send them, and it saves. In fact, it can make a difference between life and death. You help them. You help them. You put them up, and all of a sudden, you can share the gospel in a way that you couldn't share before. That's an aerial view of phase one. And now then you're looking at what's going on right across the street. That's phase two. We have been making progress. Hallelujah. And that's from the east end looking back toward the west on phase two. And we're getting concrete poured. That's our big shop. That place right there is a balcony to worship. This place is about Jesus up here. So zoomed out a little bit further and you can see the phase one and the phase two now all together. And you go up there, y'all know what Golgotha means? Golgotha, you know, where Jesus carried the cross and the cross was planted and he hung there. It was on a place called Golgotha or Calvary. And that word has a meaning. It means the place of the skull. And if you go to Jerusalem and you see where he was crucified, you'll see that it looks like a skull because caves are inset into the face of that cliff. And there was a main road that went down and people could look up there at the cross and see him hanging on the cross. And his cross was planted there in the head of death. It's a picture of the blood dripping down. And it pays the penalty for us. So we put one in, a replica there at Houses for Healing, and we use that as a baptismal. And the Lord raised a guy up from his deathbed we'd been praying for, and he was a goner on full life support in a few days. The dude walked out of the hospital and it was amazing. And he goes back to the house where we had his girlfriend and she had been telling him what's happening. You ought to see this. It looks like a jack-o'-lantern. And she was talking and so they come over and they talk to me and we go to that table that I showed y'all the picture of. And would you believe that they both gave their hearts to Jesus right there at the table. And then we had a baptismal out there. They both got baptized. It's amazing. If you'll get in the trench with them where there is no hope, they think that there's nobody, they're all by themselves, and you'll be there and share Jesus, guys. I can't tell you how powerful it is. Our very first guest, well, he didn't have long. We took care of him. Ladies that had been believers for 40 years and never led anybody to Jesus came to me after they had been taking in casseroles, praying for him. They said, Brian, we think Rolando wants to get saved. What do we do? So I went and talked to their pastor and we came up with a way for them to help Rolando into the kingdom of heaven. And so Rolando got saved before he died and his caregiver got saved. And a brother came back that was estranged from the family. He rededicated his life to Jesus. He started helping us. They were brought together the family. They asked us to do the funeral because they didn't have anybody. All of these are examples of opportunities that I want you to see. And I don't know any better. I do an altar call at the funeral, and my wife counted 12 hands that went up at the funeral. Why? Because those ladies got in there and they just brought them a casserole. Can I pray for it? And it's amazing. Do you know today we go to church with two of Rolando's sisters, their kids, and their grandkids. Because of that one person, it's so far reaching. It's a fountain that water. I've got a picture there with the water running, and we have the empty tomb. Amen. And here's the status of the houses. They're all pretty much the same. the level of progress that we've made. So we're coming together. They're starting to come together, all 16 across the street. Once these 16 are in service, it'll be, depend on the model that you use for your, you know, the financial stuff, it'll be anywhere from $1 million to $3 million every year that the body of Christ is giving away. And guys, there's not a rich person that's underwriting this. Every single one of these houses, every piece of land, a different miracle of what the Lord did at just the right time. So right there, you're seeing a pastor from Aspermont. We're doing barn doors to separate the living space from the bathroom area. And they went to the farmers and ranchers and they got them to brand their barn door in there. And it brought the community. They're so thankful, so great, because it's a long way from, like it is from Brownwood. It's a long way. And sometimes it makes the difference between living or not, because there's only so much money. And if you have a husband in a wheelchair at home and the wife has cancer and she has to make some hard decisions, if there's only $733 a month, true story. Okay. There is a clock. I was going to say, oh, there's no clock, Aliona. I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up because I've got several things more that I could talk about, but I'm going to pause right there. What we have done in Abilene, we feel like it's a model for the body of Christ around the world. Am I the only one in the house today that feels like we're in the last days? I don't know, but I just have this sense inside of me, man, things are not, they're different and they're never going to be. That's what I feel. So let's just say that we are getting close, and the close can be 20 years, it can be 50 years, or it could be, but let's say that we're close. In the scripture, I have a hard time differentiating the things that the Bible tells us is going to happen and separating those from the need for medical care. Everything in there, it's like, oh yeah, that could be associated medical need. Oh, that one could be. So it behooves us as the body to get to that place, because if these vast waves of death are coming, shouldn't we be there? So we feel like that the Lord's given us a model for the body of Christ at large. We sort of abandon, not fully, there's still a lot of good pastors out there who go and pray for their flock, and there's some good chaplains, but the level of engagement is very, very small in caring for the sick when we look at feeding the hungry. Think in your mind about how many efforts there are to feed the hungry at the grassroots level of the church versus caring for the sick. We're trying to bring that one up a little bit. And so there are some churches over there in Israel. They came and toured Houses for Healing, and they went back and started Houses for Healing in Jerusalem. In Namuyanga, Zambia, a hospital administrator came, and he lived, their hospital's in a Christian area. He toured, and he went back, and they started in Namuyanga, Zambia. They have it there. And there's places all over the world that have been asking us to go. And to, why? Because, like I said earlier, every family has a story. That's the opportunity before the body of Christ right now, if we'll get involved. We need to get back to that place of caring for the sick. That's where Jesus started it. That's where he began to reveal the kindness, the loving kindness of Father, and to build the kingdom of God on earth. And if you didn't, and they didn't have Facebook, they didn't have GPS, they didn't have, and they'd go show up at a town and they'd say, oh, we've heard of this Jesus of Nazareth. Can you tell us where he's at? And they probably had three answers. One was, he's at the synagogue, or in Jerusalem, the temple, or he's, at somebody's house eating, or the most common place that we can see in the Gospels is he's out there tending to the sick folk. Okay? I'm talking about the recurring themes throughout the scripture. He began to grow the kingdom of God, establish it, so much so that the people, whenever they heard his name, they began to cry out to him, even though they couldn't see blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. It's important. He showed us that that place right there is an awesome opportunity. And I'll close with this right here. We have, a 501c3 that is called Houses for Healing Brownwood. Y'all have a hospital down here. I don't know what it would look like, but it's just sitting there. We haven't done anything with it. If Brownwood decides that Brownwood would like, because you have a medical complex here, if you guys would like to do something, we're all in to help in whatever way we can. It would be awesome. See that leadership council right there? That's where I stopped. I've got several more slides in there that shows what it looks like whenever churches come together and they do something. If you do something together, like a husband and wife, you do it together, you'll have unity. If you just visit and say hi and then you keep going your own way, you won't have real unity, because you can't have unity unless you do something together. Because you got to work through the problems and still love one another. All that becomes unity, right? And so I want to, in closing, I'm going to just say, you know, I'm very thankful for you guys. I'm very thankful that the Lord connected us with Lori and others at Walker Cancer Center. When I tell you about loving our neighbor, the Massey family, we're all in, because Jesus really did a work inside of me. And I want to give back. I want to do something for our neighbor, and I want to enable the body of Christ to do big things. And if we'll come together, leadership council, if we'll have a group of people that'll say, I'll work with so-and-so, I'll do this, and unity can have a lot of different looks to it, but if we'll do it together, we'll change the world. Thank you, Pastor.
Thank you, Brad. You know, it's very personal to me, because when Gary had a stroke, went to Abilene not knowing anything about where I was going to stay. My son was going to fly in. We had no idea where he was going to stay. And my doctor's office here in Brownwood said, where are you staying? And I said, we don't know yet. And she said, well, let me tell you about Houses for Healing. And it was such a blessing, a very blessing. I felt God in the house when I walked in. And it was just a beautiful experience. Seven of those nights he was talking about were for me and my son. So we just praise God for Houses for Healing and their ministry. And we'd like to pray for him. Yeah. Father God, we just come to you now in thankfulness for Brian and his family, and we thank you for the ministry that you put, the mission, vision that you put into him, and the many, many people that this ministry helps. We thank you, Father, for all that you're doing and that you're going to continue to do with these new 16 houses. And Father, we just praise you, and we ask that your blessings will continue to be upon this ministry. And then, Father, I pray that you bless and put on our hearts what we need to be doing to love our neighbors and to reach out. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Well, one of the things that I love is actually something in the life of Jesus. So he stands up there when he's about to start his ministry, and he goes into a synagogue and he opens up a scroll and he gets asked to do a reading, and he reads from Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to share part of what Jesus read 2,000 years ago that Isaiah wrote long before that God inspired. It says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of our God's vengeance, to comfort those who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, vest of oil instead of mourning, and splendid clothes instead of despair. And they will be called righteous trees, planted by the Lord to glorify him." And you know, Jesus, he reads this passage and he sits down and he says, today this has taken place right here in your presence. And I love this picture about about what Houses for Healing and actually all the people that we're supporting through our Fall Invest, how they are the hands and the feet of Jesus and how they believe in that. So we're grateful for you guys. We're grateful that you're there, and we're honored to be able to help out a little bit. It's not much, but at least it's something. So we hope that you'll be praying for their ministry. We hope that you'll be praying for what to give as well, too. That invest is still going on for a couple more weeks, so make sure if you grab one of the invest envelopes, it goes towards invest. If you grab one of the tithes and offerings, it goes towards tithes and offerings, right? We're just so grateful that you guys are here, so thank you for being here. But we are going to worship a little bit more, and we do want to say this, though. Man, if you need someone to talk with, our staff is around. We've got, Rusty right back there. We've got Patty right over here. We have Mariah and Mark over there. They'd love to share with you. Maybe you just need to come and pray for Brian, pray for his family, pray for Karen and their boys. Whatever business, this is a time to do all that. So let's pray as our praise team's coming back up. And let's just bow in prayer. God, we are so grateful for how you work and how you use lives and how you use you for the kingdom. Thank you that we get to be your hands and your feet. Thank you for how you use places like Houses for Healing to show people on some of their darkest days they are there and they get to love on people and they get to show Jesus. Continue to bring lives into the kingdom through them. Continue to use them to honor and glorify you, and then use all of us this week. For your name we pray. Amen.